Canto 11, Chapter 9. Detachment from all that is material. The Honourable Brahmin said, "When one strives to own all the things held dear by man, a house, a wife, goods, etc., that will be a source of unhappiness. Anyone who knows this and is of detachment achieves unlimited happiness." A large hawk, the osprey, who had a prey, was attacked by others who were very strong and without meat. The moment he gave up his desire for prey, he achieved happiness. "I am not concerned with honor or dishonor, nor do I know the worries of people with a house and children. I wander around in the world like a child, sporting and enjoying the soul only." There are two types of people free from anxiety and merged in great happiness: those who are childish and foolish, and those who reached the Lord beyond the natural modes. Once, at the house of a young girl, all of whose relatives that day had gone to another place, a couple of men arrived who wanted to marry her. She received them with great hospitality. Being alone, she beat the rice so that her guests could eat, and doing so, the conch shell bracelets on her arms made a lot of noise. Shy, she, filled with shame, thought about that servant noise, and then intelligently, one by one, broke the shell bracelets from her arms, leaving but two on each wrist. From those two, there was still the noise, of course, as she was husking the rice. But after she further removed one from each pair of shell ornaments, only one remained, and no sound could be heard anymore. O subduer of the enemy, I, wandering around in all regions searching for the truth about the world, personally witnessed the lesson taught by this girl. When there are many people in one place, there will be discord. Even among two people, there will be arguing. Therefore, one should live alone, just like the bracelet of the girl. The mind should be controlled by detachment and a regulated yoga practice, in which one conquers one's breathing in sitting postures and one carefully focuses on one point, the true self. When the mind thus has been stabilized, one step by step is freed from its contamination of karma and sees the quality of goodness increase while passion and ignorance recede. Free from fuel for one's karma, one attains beatitude. When one is thus being fixed in the soul, one does not know anything about what is outside or inside, just like the arrow maker who, absorbed in his arrow, did not notice the king standing at his side. A sage must walk alone without a fixed residence or temple, must be very alert, exercise restraint, and should not be recognized in his actions. Without companions, he speaks only little. Building a home for one's temporary self is a vain and troublesome endeavor. A serpent happily prospers, having entered a home built by others. The one self, the one Lord without a second, who became the foundation and reservoir of all, is Narayana, the Godhead who by his own potency created the universe in the beginning and by his potency of time withdraws his creation within himself at the end of the kalpa. When the material powers of sattva and so on are balanced by the time factor, that is the potency of the true self, the soul, the Lord, the original personality, the Purusha, is found as the supreme controller, the Lord of both the primary nature, Pradhana, and the person. He, the worshipable object of all conditioned and transcendental souls, has his existence in the purest experience that one describes as Kaivalya or beatitude, the fullness of the blissful state without guna attributes. By means of the pure potency of his self, his own bewildering energy composed of the three basic qualities, he, O subduer of the enemies, at the onset of creation, agitating in the form of time, manifests the plan of matter, the sutra, the thread, the rule or direction of the Mahatattva. This universe, in which the living being finds its existence of repeated births, is strung and bound to that thread, that plan, that manifested itself as the cause of the three modes, that in their turn bring about the different categories of the manifestation, so one says. The way a spider expands its thread from itself, with that thread by its mouth enjoys its meal, and swallows that thread again, the Supreme Lord also operates. Whether a conditioned soul, out of love, hate or fear, with intelligence, fixes his mind on a particular form of existence, he will attain that existence. O King, a wasp larva, meditating on the fully grown wasp that put him in the hive, reaches, without leaving his previous body by transformation, the same state of being when fully grown. This is what I know from taking instruction from all these gurus. Now please, O King, hear from me what I have to say about the knowledge I acquired by learning from my own body. With one's body, one always has to suffer because of the inevitable burden of its maintenance and future destruction. I contemplate the truths of the world with it, and the body is therefore, despite being there for the service of others, to me, a teacher of renunciation and discrimination, who convinces me to wander about in detachment. Wishing to give it pleasure, one has to divide one's care over the different departments of the wife, the children, the animals, the servants, the home, and the relatives. Just as in nature, a tree drops the seed that was produced and dies, the body at the time of death must give up the wealth it with great struggle accumulated. One moment the tongue distracts the cherished body, and sometimes thirst is doing this. The other moment the genitals distract, and then the sense of touch is pressing. The belly demands attention, the ears lead elsewhere, the smell points in a direction, or the fickle eyes are leading astray. The operating forces of the body are thus pulled in many directions, just like the head of a household is being led by many co-wives. After he, from his powers, had created the many different physical forms of the crawling creatures, the insects, the mammals, birds, snakes, and so on, the Lord, in his heart not satisfied with it, created the human life form that he endowed with an intelligence fit for envisioning the absolute truth, and that brought him gladness. After many births, having attained this human form that is so difficult to attain and, though not eternal, has a great value, someone in control of himself but doomed to die must, as long as he has not ended, without delay in this world, endeavor for the ultimate liberation, the way out. Sense gratification, after all, is available in all forms of life. Thus, with all these 24 plus one masters, without ties having awakened and with wisdom looking at the world from within the soul, I wander the earth free from attachment and false ego. The knowledge acquired from a single teacher cannot be very solid or complete. The absolute truth, without a second, is by the sages sung in many ways. The Supreme Lord said, after the so very intelligent Brahmin thus had spoken to King Yadu and properly was honored by the king offering his obeisances, he thereupon bid farewell and went away, just as contented as he had come. Yadu, the forefather of our forefathers, having heard the words of the Avaduta, became liberated from all his attachment in a consciousness equal toward all.